sport, as well as much more. Here's Dan.
Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 33 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
A recent study of girls in grades 7 through 12 found that about 51% reported some exposure to sexual abuse.
Carol Jordan is with the UK Center for Research on Violence Against Women. She says that's why Kentucky needs to expand its domestic violence laws. The governor seeks additional funding for education, and President Obama tomorrow will announce the creation of a promise zone in southeastern Kentucky. In sports, former Louisville football coach Bobby Petrino could be headed back to U of L. Bud Luke has the Stocks. Overcast tonight, low of 22. The complete forecast is coming up after this news. Some area school closings to report this afternoon. The following school districts will be closed tomorrow: Breathitt, Jackson, McGoffin, Martin, and Wolf counties, and Elliott County will be on a one-hour delay. We will repeat that list for you at the end of this program. In his 7th State of the Commonwealth address, Kentucky Governor Steve Beshear told lawmakers that he will seek to reinvest in education, and he urged the General Assembly to reform the state's tax code. The nearly 50-minute speech touched on a variety of topics, including the state's implementation of the Federal Affordable Care Act, gains in auto manufacturing, and the implementation of new education standards. In stressing his latest priority, Beshear says he'll make cuts to other programs in order to reinvest in schools. To make up some of the funds, the governor pleaded with lawmakers to act on tax reform this year.
I realize that tax modernization is a sensitive topic, especially in an election year. But the people elected us to tackle difficult issues. So engage with me. I ask you to engage with me on a core weakness that is keeping the Commonwealth from reaching its potential.
The governor offered few details on the kind of changes he wants to see in the tax code. Senate Majority Leader Damon Thayer says he's willing to consider Governor Beshear's proposal to provide additional funding for education in the next two-year budget. However, the Georgetown Republican says increased financial support for schools should be paid for by spending reductions elsewhere. Thayer spoke with Inside Cable's Pure Politics after the governor's State of the Commonwealth address.
The economic situation we're in is going to preclude us from doing any major increases. Most people who are asking for more money aren't going to get it. But I think the possibility of cuts in state government to fund a small increase in the SEEK funding formula is something that I would be open to.
Thayer tells Pure Politics a net increase in state spending is unwise at this time. A statewide campaign is urging Kentucky students to complete 15-credit schedules each semester to finish college faster. The 15 to Finish campaign was announced today during a press conference in Frankfort. It's being promoted as a way to save time and money by encouraging full course schedules. Supporters say it'll get students into the workforce sooner. Lieutenant Governor Jerry Abramson says the campaign will help supply Kentucky with a highly trained workforce. A Moorhead lawmaker says Kentucky has a shortage of teachers in certain subject areas, and that could be remedied by changing the Commonwealth's requirements for such instructors. State Senator Walter Blevin says if Kentucky permitted college graduates to teach courses related to their majors instead of requiring instructors to get degrees in education, schools would have more candidates for jobs that have been tough to fill.
The suggestion I keep hearing is that maybe we should, you just don't go get a master's in education, but you get a master's in chemistry, or get a master's in mathematics, and then you come back, and then you can teach those AP courses, because we're having a tough time finding the instructors for those students that really want to take advantage of this.
Levin says students should be encouraged to take advanced classes, but it's more difficult for schools to offer them when they have trouble finding qualified teachers. Well, Morehead State held its spring convocation today. MSPR's Joshua Grandison has that story.
According to Andrews, MSU has much to be proud of in recent years, with the largest enrollments in the school's history in the last 3 years in a row. However, he says the focus should not be solely on bringing new students to the university, but also on retaining students already enrolled.
If we want to improve retention here, first and foremost, the student has to come first. And I'm not talking about giving the students grades. I'm never, ever. I'm talking about giving them attention, making sure they get the assistance they need, and dealing with them where they are. I guarantee you, if we will do that, that in and of itself will help turn this retention metric to something better than it is.
He says that when the university does not retain a student, it is a disservice to both parties, as it is both a loss of revenue for the school and an unfulfilled dream for the student. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Joshua Grandison.
Kentucky should expand its domestic violence law to allow dating partners to obtain protection orders against their abusers. That's what the director of the University of Kentucky's Center for Research on Violence Against Women told state lawmakers in Frankfort this afternoon. Carol Jordan testified before the House Judiciary Committee. She says surveys among female students at UK in 2004 and 2007 on the incidence of physical and sexual assault and stalking underscore the need for additional protections.
We found that 36.5% of women who are students at the University of Kentucky will have an experience of victimization while a student at the university.
Jordan says another study on girls in grades 7 through 12 found that 51% had experienced some form of sexual abuse. State Representative John Tilley says only a handful of states do not extend domestic violence protections to dating partners. He chairs the judiciary panel. Ohio's governor, its attorney general, law enforcement officials, and a National Football League Hall of Famer were on hand today to launch a new initiative aimed at getting the drug-free message to middle and high school students. They held a press conference to announce Governor John Kasich's new program. It's called Start Talking, Building a Drug-Free Future. The effort encourages parents and adults to talk to children about the dangers of abusing drugs and other substances and report dealers to local police. Former Cincinnati Bengals player Anthony Munoz is part of the effort. He says his late father was a drug abuser.
Never met him, but he was in and out of prison, and he was a drug addict. But I had relatives, I had coaches, I had teachers who really mentored me, and along seeing that directly in my family, they allowed me to chase a dream, and they talked to me about the dangers of drugs.
Without that support, Munoz says his life could have turned out much differently. Attorney General Mike DeWine calls drug abuse a horrible problem in Ohio. He says at least 800 people died from heroin overdoses in the Buckeye State last year. Morehead should learn in the next couple of months if it will receive a $1 million community development block grant from the Kentucky Department of Local Government. That's according to Frontier Housing President and CEO Sherry Farley. She says the funding will be used to help offset part of the $2 million cost of a neighborhood revitalization effort her agency and the city will undertake on Morehead's west side.
Plans are, if it's successful and we do that development, that there will be a lot more development out in that area. That area has a lot of potential, but there's a lot of older homes that really need to be replaced, a lot of rental units that need to be taken out and replaced. The infrastructure is pretty run down in that area.
The project will be done on formerly vacant land in the area of Center Street, Clint Court, and Hill Court that has already been purchased by Frontier Housing. Well, the Rowan County Public Library had to be closed today due to a broken water pipe. Director Helen Williams says a staff worker heard water running late last night and went to investigate. Luckily, Williams notes, there were no damages.
We're really blessed to have a floor drain right in front of the kitchen sink there in the warming kitchen. The water that ran until the utility plant board folks got here to shut off the water to the building went down the drain.
Williams is hoping the library can reopen tomorrow morning. President Obama will announce 5 promise zones this week as part of his effort to focus on income inequality. In the lead-up to his State of the Union address, one of those zones is southeastern Kentucky. The others are San Antonio, Texas, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, and the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma. Promise zones are areas where the federal government provides tax incentives and grants to help communities tackle poverty. The president first announced the initiative during last year's State of the Union speech. He'll officially name those zones on Thursday. U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell says Congress should find a way to pay for a 3-month extension of benefits for more than 1 million long-term unemployed Americans. The Kentucky Republican voted for such an extension without spending offsets under President Bush. However, McConnell says the situation is different today.
We have a debt crisis. We ought to be able to find, in over $3 million of annual spending, a way to pay for this program. I don't think that's unreasonable or outrageous, and I understand the majority leader didn't rule that out, and the administration hasn't either, so I think it's worth talking about.
McConnell spoke Tuesday at a press conference in Washington. The $6.4 billion measure cleared the Senate yesterday with the support of 6 Republicans, but faces an uncertain future in the GOP-controlled House. A Mason County man charged with animal cruelty has been given until Monday to remove all animals from his property, MSPR's Sam Steyer reports.
The Maysville Ledger Independent reports that in November and December 2013, George Samuel Jones was cited for having livestock at large, animal cruelty, and failure to properly dispose of carcasses. Most of the charges stem from a December 29th incident in which 16 dead horses were discovered on Jones's property. Court order mandates that Jones must provide access to food and care for animals still in his possession. Already, several animals have been moved to safety at the Maysville Stockyard, but others still need to be moved. Jones is no longer permitted to possess or control any animals and must properly dispose of any deceased animals in accordance with the law. For MSPR News, I'm Sam Steyert.
And finally this afternoon, a Kentucky lawmaker says she accidentally fired her gun in her office in the Capitol Annex. Democratic Representative Leslie Combs of Pikeville says no one was hurt or in harm's way when the gun went off Tuesday, the opening day of the legislative session. She says the incident was investigated by the state police's legislative detail, who found no evidence to indicate any portion of the round went outside her office. Combs says she obtained her concealed carry permit several years ago. And here's the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area, including the counties of Rowan, Carter, and Fleming. Partly cloudy skies with lows between 20 and 25. Thursday, partly cloudy skies will become cloudy with sprinkles possible in the afternoon. Highs around 40. And Thursday night, cloudy once again with a 20% chance of light rain or light snow. Lows around 31 degrees. Currently, it is 33 degrees in Ashland, 30 in Flemingsburg, 31 in Lexington and Winchester, 36 in Inez, and 33 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University. It is 4:44. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. On our feature segment, a State of the Commonwealth speech offers Kentucky's governor an opportunity to emphasize an administration's accomplishments. Last night, Governor Beshear spent a good deal of time talking about health care reforms, but also called on the General Assembly to enhance state revenues and reform taxes. KPR's Stu Johnson reports.
During the last year, Governor Beshear says the Commonwealth made national headlines with health care reforms, such as its expansion of Medicaid and the creation of an online marketplace for medical insurance. Its economic recovery has included significant business growth, but if the legislature can overhaul the tax code and enhance revenues, Beshear says the economic picture will brighten further.
I will present to you this session a tax modernization proposal with specific recommendations on how to move our tax system into the 21st century.
While waiting to hear more specifics from the governor, Senate President Robert Stivers noted after the speech a revenue-neutral plan would stand the best chance. It means raising taxes for some people and lowering them for others. The Republican leader says such reforms would still bring more money into state coffers.
We would have more revenues because more people are working and more people are paying taxes. That, to me, is a good tax code.
Stivers' counterpart in the House, Speaker Greg Stumbo, says many people view tax reform as something they can support unless it increases their tax burden. The Democratic leader also believes there is a way to adjust the tax system and collect more money for state government.
I think there is a way forward by lowering the individual rates, by lowering perhaps the corporate rates, if you spread the base. And if you spread the base, it does allow for growth.
Expanding the tax base could mean levying taxes on certain services, which are currently exempt. Senate Majority Floor Leader Damon Thayer says the challenge is significant to reform taxes or expand gambling. Instead of preparing the way for those issues, Thayer says the governor allowed himself to be distracted by other issues.
It looks to me like he's going to back off and take another swing at tax reform and expanded gambling, which is interesting because he spent most of the year implementing Obamacare and not laying the groundwork for any major policies during this session like tax reform and expanded gambling, both of which are going to take a lot of heavy lifting.
Fellow Republican House Minority Leader Jeff Hoover was disappointed the governor didn't provide specifics on an expanded gambling proposal. Many educators this winter may lobby for the legalization of casinos, selling them as a much-needed source of revenue for Kentucky schools. As for education, Governor Beshear reiterated last night, if left with no choice, he would be willing to take the needed funds from Peter so Kentucky can pay Paul.
I'm determined to find money to reinvest in education, even if I have to make harmful cuts in other areas to do so.
One of those taking in the State of the Commonwealth address was State Education Commissioner Terry Holliday. Afterwards, Holliday expressed some confidence the legislature will increase funding for schools, but he sees no solid figures on the amount of additional aid which could go into K-12 education.
Every leadership position I've talked to, they all want to support education and restore some of the funds been cut. I think it's just a matter of how much. That's what we'll debate.
Governor Beshear didn't focus on money matters only. He also said the Commonwealth should take steps to protect unmarried couples from domestic violence. When asked about this legislation, Senate President Stivers says current law already provides adequate protection. Governor Beshear will also sponsor an initiative designed to cut the state's smoking rate by 10% by 2018. Another would be to create no-phone zones near schools and construction areas where drivers cannot use cell phones. For Kentucky Public Radio, I'm Stu Johnson.
It is 4:48. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR comes your way at 5 o'clock, and Caleb has sports in just a moment.
Support for MSPR is provided in part by Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky. Each day, around 2,000 vehicles are made at the Georgetown plant. A factory tour gives you an insightful look at what goes into building the Avalon, Venza, and Camry. You can ride a guided tram car and see the process from start to finish, including a glimpse of giant cold-rolled steel coils that automatically presses shape into doors, hoods, and roofs. Tours are Monday through Friday, and reservations are highly recommended. ToyotaGeorgetown.com.
The cards move forward. Well, sort of. I'm Caleb Noe, and this is your Mountain Edition Sports Report. Just over a decade after he was hired as Louisville's head coach the first time, Bobby Petrino may be returning. MSPR's Greg Jenkins has that story.
According to multiple sources, including ESPN and USA Today, Louisville Cardinals athletic director Tom Jurich plans to offer the Cardinals football head coaching job to current WKU head coach Bobby Petrino again. Since leaving Louisville in January of 2007, Petrino has held head coaching jobs with the Atlanta Falcons, Arkansas Razorbacks, and most recently, the Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky. According to ESPN, Jurich is set to meet with Petrino this evening and work out a deal. This will actually be Petrino's third separate time as a coach at Louisville. He was the team's offensive coordinator in 1998 and head coach from 2003 to 2006. It may be a gutsy move by Louisville, as Petrino has never stayed anywhere longer than 4 years, but he is known for being a winner, while coaching in college, his overall record is 83-30. For MSPR Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
Some more news from the college football world. Texas A&M quarterback Johnny Manziel got a Heisman Trophy last year, and last night he got a professional agent. Johnny Football told CBS Sports earlier today that he would be entering the NFL draft. He also has a written letter to Texas A&M fans thanking them for the 2 years he spent in College Station. The gunslinger spoke today saying, quote, "I'm ready to become a professional and dedicate myself to making my dream a reality of being the best quarterback I can be," unquote. This past season, Manziel completed nearly 70% of his passes for over 4,000 yards and 37 touchdowns. The fleet-footed QB also rushed for 759 yards and 9 touchdowns on the ground. He's regarded by some experts as a top 5 draft pick. Offensive coordinator Jay Gruden's time with the Cincinnati Bengals could be coming to an end, Chuck Mraz reports.
Gruden is said to be coveted by a number of NFL teams looking for head coaches right now. He interviewed yesterday with the Tennessee Titans and is spending today talking with the Washington Redskins about their opening. The Minnesota Vikings are also said to have an interest in talking with Gruden. Gruden has been credited with turning the Bengals' offense into one of the league's most multifaceted and explosive groups. Meanwhile, Bengals defensive coordinator Mike Zimmer could also be leaving head coach Marvin Lewis's staff. He'll reportedly interview for some head coaching jobs as well. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Chuck Mraz.
Major League Baseball's Hall of Fame will be inducting 3 former players this summer. AP correspondent Jack Briggs has more on that.
Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, and Frank Thomas have all been elected by the baseball writers. Craig Biggio just missed being elected by getting 74.8% of the vote. To be elected, a player needs to get 75%. Maddux led the way with 97.2% of the votes, while Glavine, a Maddux teammate for 10 years with Atlanta, received 91.9%. The final electee is Chicago slugger Frank Thomas. Players tainted by the steroid era fell short once again. That group includes Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Curt Schilling, who all saw their support drop. This is Jack Briggs.
Cincinnati Reds GM Walt Jocketty says it's important the team be patient with rookie outfielder Billy Hamilton. Jocketty doesn't think it's a question of if the speedy Hamilton will be a great player, but when.
All our people believe in Billy Hamilton, what he's capable of doing, and so we just have to keep putting him out there and have him grind it out. And I think that in time, as I said, he's such a great athlete. I think it'll be. Good form, and I just believe that the veterans we have in our club that will surround him will also be a big help to him.
The 23-year-old Hamilton hit .256 and stole 75 bases last year at AAA Louisville. He also swiped 13 bags in just 13 games after being called up by the Reds last September. The Kentucky basketball team tips off the SEC portion of its schedule this evening as the 14th-ranked Wildcats host Mississippi State at 8 o'clock at Rupp Arena. The 10-3 Wildcats have not played since their 73-66 win over formerly 6th-ranked Louisville on December 28th. Coach John Calipari says that long break for his team didn't happen by accident.
No, we like to have a little more time, and when the league moved the schedule back, it was perfect for us. And we're going to see how this plays out. Maybe it helps us. Maybe it didn't. Maybe I wore them out. But we're going to see if this break helped us to see what we'll do a year from now. I will tell you that the players are ready to play.
Like UK, Mississippi State is 10-3 this season. The Bulldogs have won 5 of their last 6 games. The Big Blue is 89-20 lifetime against State and 24-2 at home at Rupp Arena. The Morehead State men's basketball team continues to get ready for its big OVC matchup on Saturday night at Johnson Arena against rival Eastern Kentucky. The Colonels were the preseason pick by many to win the league's East Division. They're 1-1 in conference. MSU sophomore guard Brent Arrington says having an entire week to prepare for the talented Colonels and their complicated defensive system is a big help for the Eagles.
It's going to be big because we definitely need to know what they do. They play a different defense, I heard, and we're going to need to like know and understand what spots will be open against their defense. So I think this week to plan should be real good for us, real big for us.
EKU, meanwhile, won't have as much time to prepare for Saturday's 7:30 contest at Morehead State. The Colonels host Murray State tonight. That's in Richmond. After getting postponed last night, the Rowan County boys basketball team will try it again tonight. The Vikings are slated to host Bath County at 7:30 at Cooper Gymnasium. 7-6 Rowan will be trying to snap a three-game skid when they face the Wildcats. Coach Sean Thacker says the key to making that happen is for his players to maintain their intensity for a full four quarters.
We've been able to get leads and not hold leads, but we've also shown the ability, if we get behind, to come back. We're pretty good when we get to pin our ears back and just go after somebody. But, you know, it's hard for us to do that throughout for 32 minutes because our kids get tired. So part of it is we're probably going to start playing a few more kids and pin their ears back and go get them a little bit and try to see how that works.
Bath County is just 4-10 this season. Like Rowan, however, the Cats have lost three straight, also dropping six of their last eight contests. And that wraps up sports for this afternoon. I'm Caleb Noe with Morehead State Public Radio and Mountain Edition. Now back to Dan.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball hosts Eastern Kentucky for a doubleheader on Saturday, January 11th, in the Academic Athletic Center. The women's game starts at 5:15 and the men's contest at 7:30. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Ticket Office, 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks finished mixed following the prior day's jump, with volatility still in play after minutes from the Federal Reserve had central bankers viewing the benefits of monetary stimulus as diminishing over time, and a report on payrolls was better than anticipated. And this news backdrop made things a bit rocky for the blue chip average from very early on, as now, with the prospect of a stronger economy in 2014 looming, prospect of the Federal Reserve tapering quicker would certainly seem to be in the forefront. And the Dow Industrials finished with a loss of 68.2 at 16,462.74. The S&P 500 was down 0.39 at 1837.49. The NASDAQ Composite showed strength as tech stocks were strong, with the NASDAQ up 12.43 at 4165.61. And the U.S. dollar gained strength for a second straight day against the euro, and the price of Treasury bonds and gold both declined after ADP reported that U.S. companies added 238,000 to workers in, or 238,000 workers were added to payrolls, according to ADP, in December, and this was better than the 200,000 that had been anticipated. And, of course, this increases the argument for the Fed to continue its tapering. In individual company news, Forest Labs rallied after saying it would pay $2.9 billion in cash for Aptalis Pharma, which specializes in treating cystic fibrosis. And Micron Technology surged after reporting better-than-expected quarterly revenue. Ford Motor rose after CEO Alan Mulally announced that he planned to remain with the automaker, basically taking himself out of contention for the top post of Microsoft. Twitter declined after Cantor Fitzgerald downgraded its shares to sell from hold, and shares of JCPenney fell sharply after the retailer released a statement saying it was pleased with its performance for the holiday period but gave no specific numbers. Gold fell $4.10 to finish at $1,225 an ounce, and crude oil dropped $1.34 to $92.33 a barrel. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 75 cents at 99.01, CSX down 12 cents at 28.23, AK Steel up a penny at 7.92, AEP down 28 cents at 46.10, Marathon Petroleum down 32 cents at 88.68, and Community Trust Bank was down 15 cents to finish at 43.94. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
School closings for tomorrow: Breathitt County, Jackson, McGoffin, Martin County, Wolf County, all closed tomorrow. Elliott County is on a one-hour delay Thursday. Partly cloudy skies, lows between 20 and 25 tonight. Partly cloudy once again tomorrow with sprinkles possible in the afternoon, highs around 40. Currently in Moorhead, 33 degrees. And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Tanner Boyd, Chase Johnson, Joshua Grandison, Sam Steyard, Caleb Noe, and Jordan Simonson, as well as Paul Hitchcock. From Kentucky Public Radio, Stu Johnson had our feature report. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202 BH Inez. I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.